Szanowni Państwo, prezydent
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Republic of Poland, Mr. Andrzej Duda, and the Secretary General of NATO, Mr. Jens Stoltenberg. Mr. President, the floor is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to Belvedere in connection with a visit paid by Mr. Jens Stoltenberg, Secretary General of NATO of the North Atlantic Alliance. I'm delighted that Mr. Secretary General, along with his delegation, are here with us today and that we were able, before the B9 meeting, the meeting of the so-called Bucharest 9, the NATO countries of Central Europe, and before NATO summit in Brussels, that we had an opportunity to discuss about those important or most important issues from the perspective of the upcoming meetings and also from the perspective of the actions that will be taken by NATO in the upcoming years. I'm also very happy that we were able to discuss the current situation as it looks. I'm delighted that Mr. Secretary General is with us today. First and foremost, the primary reason for his coming to Warsaw is the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, which is taking place at the seat of the Polish Parliament. Ladies and gentlemen, we discussed things most important for the upcoming summit. There are no discrepancies in our positions. We are on the same page with Mr. Secretary General in terms of all the main goals which the alliance should be trying to achieve in the upcoming years. We agree on a certain profile that has been adopted. We are pleased that the decisions taken at the Wales and at the Warsaw summits in 2016 are being dynamically implemented, especially looking from the Polish perspective. We are pleased to have allied troops as part of the enhanced forward presence here, that the decisions of the Warsaw summit in this respect have been implemented. And today, in the context of the upcoming NATO summit in Brussels, we have to think about next decisions which will be taken there as far as the efficiency of the functioning of NATO is concerned. In other words, well, we have to discuss the response which will take place after the potential engagement, military engagement of enhanced forward presence forces, to have them reinforced by more forces. In order to achieve that, we need to undertake adaptive measures within NATO, and decisions should be taken in this area at the upcoming summit. There is an initiative which we also raised during our discussions today with Mr. Secretary General, 4x30. This initiative concerns this particular element they mentioned, and we as Poland, I declared that we stand ready to join this initiative, that we are ready to implement that together. We also discussed the establishment of the so-called Land Component Command. We flagged out to Mr. Secretary General before, but also today we repeated very strongly that we would be glad if the Land Component Command was established here in our part of Europe, in the city of Szczecin, where today we have the Multinational Corps Northeast Headquarters, which is part of NATO, and there is Poland, Denmark, and Germany involved as framework nations in that corps. We believe that on the basis of this element, also the Land Component Command could be established in Szczecin as part of the NATO command reform, command structure reform. And we hope that the decisions in this respect will be taken this year. Ladies and gentlemen, I also express my gratitude to Mr. Secretary General for his great engagement and his efforts made to maintain the Euro-Atlantic unity and cohesion within NATO. And I would like to make sure that the upcoming summit in Brussels gives a clear message of the unity, that the unity will be kept not only for our security, but also for the Euro-Atlantic security, for the security of NATO as a whole, of all the states together and of every individual state. Ladies and gentlemen, another topic on our agenda was about increasing European defense capabilities that is also concerned with funds allocated to that goal. We fulfill the obligations and decisions, which means that we allocate at least 2% of GDP per year on military security. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, last year we adopted a law in Poland, which is already binding. According to that law, by 2030, we are going to spend our defense spending to 2.5% of GDP. For sure, we are going to try and mobilize our allies to also to reach that standard as well. We will also raise the issue of cooperation between NATO and Ukraine and NATO and Georgia. This is also the element which we discussed in our conversation with Mr. Secretary General. I hope that there will be a possibility of convening a meeting, NATO-Ukraine and NATO-Georgia, that there will be commissions convened at the appropriate ministerial level. This is the issue of decisions which will be taken in the run-up to the NATO summit. For sure, we are also going to raise these issues during the meeting of the B9, Bucharest 9, because actually this issue concerns every single of our states as it concerns security. So that is for sure something that we're going to discuss. We also raised in our conversations the infrastructure, the development of road networks, of railway networks, from the perspective of enabling military mobility, fast movement of armed forces among our countries in Eastern Europe and also along the West East axis. So these were the topics on the list, the topics that we raised in our discussions with Mr. Secretary General. We had a more than hour-long meeting. Thank you, Mr. President. And now over to Mr. Secretary General of NATO, Mr. Jens Stoltenberg.
Thank you so much, President Duda, dear André. It's great to be back here in Warsaw and to meet you again. And Poland was the first country I visited when I became Secretary General back in 2014. I've been back many times since then, including for our landmark summit here in Warsaw in July 2016. And I really appreciate to be here because Poland is a very strong ally. You participate and contribute to our shared security and our collective defense in many different ways. You lead by example on defense spending, allocating 2% of GDP for defense. Poland is hosting one of NATO battle groups, a US-led battle group here in Poland, but you're also contributing to another battle group, the one we have in Latvia. And then Poland is also a host of a key site for our ballistic missile defense, which is under construction now. I would also like to thank Poland for the many contributions you are making to different NATO missions and operations in Afghanistan, but also for the training activities that NATO conducts in Iraq. And this is about fighting terrorism. When our neighbors are more stable, we are more secure. We had the landmark summit in Warsaw in 2016. We are now preparing for the NATO summit in Brussels in July this year. And during our lunch meeting, we addressed several of the issues which will dominate that summit in July. First of all, deterrence and defense. We need to continue to make sure that NATO delivers credible deterrence and defense. This is partly about our increased presence in the eastern part of the alliance with the battle groups, and also the tailored force presence in Romania and the Black Sea region. But it's also about our ability to reinforce quickly if needed. So as you mentioned, we are also now discussing different readiness initiatives, measures to increase the readiness of NATO forces so they can quickly move, quickly deploy if needed. We also discussed how NATO can combine the terrorist defense with political dialogue with Russia. Russia is our neighbor. Russia is there to stay. So we need to continue to engage in dialogue with Russia. And this week we will have a new meeting of the NATO-Russia Council. I believe that these meetings of the NATO-Russia Council are important because they provide a framework for also discussing difficult issues, for instance, the crisis in and around Ukraine. Therefore, the NATO-Russia Council is a way to raise many different issues, including military transparency, risk reduction, but as also mentioned, Ukraine. And we have seen the consequences of the crisis in Ukraine, Russia's destabilizing efforts in eastern Ukraine, with the downing of MH17. And a few days ago, we received a report from the joint investigation team, and I agree with the Dutch government that Russia should admit responsibility for its part in the downing of the plane, and also fully cooperate so we make sure that those who are responsible are held accountable. We also welcome the fact that NATO is now adapting our command structure. We will make decisions on that at our summit in July. We foresee that there will be two new commands, one command for Atlantic and one new command for what we call support. But we also discuss the issue of land component commands. That's an issue where we wait for military advice before we make the final decisions on where to allocate the land component commands. Let me also highlight that we are focused on the cooperation with the European Union. I welcome stronger EU efforts on defense. At the same time, it has been clearly stated by EU leaders and by European leaders that this is not about creating any alternative to NATO. This is about complementing NATO, strengthening the European pillar within NATO. And I agree that we need stronger EU efforts, stronger European efforts, to also strengthen the transatlantic bond and improve the burden sharing. Lastly, I will focus. I will mention that we, at the summit, also will address issues related to our partners in the east, Georgia and Ukraine, two close partners of NATO. And NATO will continue to provide political and practical support to Georgia and Ukraine, because they are highly valued partners where NATO has an important role to play, and we will continue to support them. So once again, thank you so much for hosting me and my delegation here in Poland, and it's always a great pleasure to be here and to meet with you. Thank you.
Dziękuję bardzo. Teraz jest czas na zadawanie pytań. Proszę bardzo, pierwsze pytanie.
National, the question is Magdalena Wierzchowska, the Polish Television. My question is about increasing funds on defense, because Poland fulfills this condition, but we also declared we have got appropriate law to increase defense spending. What does that mean for you, and what are the possibilities of motivating other countries also to live up to that standard?
It means a lot for not only me personally, but for NATO, because after the end of the Cold War, NATO allies reduced defense spending because tensions went down. But when we reduce defense spending when tensions are going down, we have to also be able to increase defense spending when tensions are going up, as they are doing now. And therefore, NATO allies decided at our summit in 2014 to stop the cuts and start to increase and move towards spending 2% of GDP on defense. And that's exactly what we do. All allies have stopped the cuts. All allies have started to increase defense spending. And more allies spend now 2% of GDP on defense. Back in 2014, it was only three allies, that spent 2% of GDP on defense. This year, we expect eight allies to spend 2% of GDP on defense, including Poland. And the majority of NATO allies have put forward plans on how to reach the 2% target within a decade. So we are moving in the right direction. We need to continue to do so. And the good news is that we now see also economic growth across Europe. So meaning that when you have growth, of course, you need to allocate even more. But growth is not the problem. Growth is a big advantage because we allocate 2% for defense. That's the aim. Then you have 98% for something else. So growth, economic growth is not the problem. It's actually a big advantage, both for the economy, for the fiscal budget or for the fiscal balance, and also for defense spending. And I commend Poland for leading by example by spending 2% of GDP on defense.
Wojciech Sagirski, Polish Radio. Mr. President, you mentioned that Poland is declaring its readiness to host the land component command here in our country. And you, Mr. Secretary General, mentioned that you are waiting for the military analysis to take that decision. So my question is this decision going to be taken within the decisions taken at NATO summit about the new NATO command structure? If so, what are the chances of Poland hosting the land component command? And if the decision is taken later, then when can we expect the decision to be taken? Thank you.
The heads of state and government are expected to make the main decisions on the new command structure, including to establish a new Atlantic command. The United States has offered to host that in Norfolk, Virginia. A new support command that Germany has offered to host that in Germany, and then many other changes in our command structure, including establishing a new command center for cyber and also new land component commands. But the exact geographic location of the land component command is not expected to be taken at the summit. Because we have asked our Supreme Allied Commander, Europe, SACEUR, to provide unfettered military advice on that. And therefore, we also do not expect any decision at the summit. Let me also highlight that this will not delay the process, because when we take the main decisions, we start to adapt. But there will be a long period of transition. So it will not be as if you go from one command structure to another in a question of weeks or months. It will take time, so we can start the process, and then we will take decisions on the exact location of the different land component commands later on.
Radio Plus, hello. My question is for Mr. Secretary General. We heard a lot about this parliamentary session of NATO, that the alliance is supposed to be more political than military alliance. This morning, our Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki said in the parliament that Nord Stream 2 is a hybrid warfare aimed against the European Union and against NATO and Ukraine, of course. So when we bring these two things together, Mr. Secretary General, do you see a possibility of NATO getting more involved in blocking this investment, possibly? Does NATO have such instruments at its hands? How do you see such perspectives, Mr. Secretary General, which is very important for Poland, too?
NATO is a military and a political alliance, and we provide strong deterrence, strong defense, and we have proven able to adapt our military structure, including with increased military presence in the eastern part of the alliance over the last couple of years. We are also a political alliance, addressing many different political issues, and also providing a platform for also discussing and raising different political issues among allies. And we provide political support to partner nations. So we are a military and political alliance. When it comes to Nord Stream, it is well known that there are different views about that among NATO allies. Some have expressed very strong views against the Nord Stream projects. Other allies have stated that this is a project which is a commercial project, and I don't think that politicians should make decisions regarding such a project based on anything else than a commercial assessment. The reality is that NATO is an organization based on consensus, And therefore, first of all, for NATO to make any decisions at all or to express any opinion at all on the North Stream will be very difficult because we don't see any consensus on that issue within the NATO alliance. And second, we don't have tools to, what do I say, do anything with that kind of energy project. That's partly for nations and partly also an issue which I know has been very much discussed within the European Union. But allies have strong opinions, and I agree that we need to address the question of energy security. I think that we can do many things to address energy security. Diversification of supplies is a way to address energy security. Energy efficiency is a way to address energy security. But also, of course, the fact that we see now investments in renewables helps to increase energy security in Europe because that means less dependence on imported energy.
Question, Marzena Kozłowska, Polish Press Agency. My question is about the relationship with Ukraine. Mr. President, you mentioned that relations between Ukraine and NATO, Georgia NATO, were also discussed by both of you gentlemen. So in this context, let me ask about the possible date of convening NATO-Ukraine Commission. And the question to Mr. President Duda, we have got good political relations with Hungary. Perhaps we are able to influence Hungary somehow to deblock that possibility of a meeting.
We will have a meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission today at the ambassadorial level. So we still have very close, or we have very close contact and cooperation with Ukraine. I have, so we have regular meetings with the political leaders. I have spoken and met with President Poroshenko several times, and also with Foreign Minister Klimkin. So NATO provides strong political and strong practical support for Ukraine because Ukraine is a close partner, a highly valued partner, and Ukraine has also suffered from the aggressive actions of Russia. Russia illegally annexing a part of Ukraine, Crimea, and also continuing to destabilize eastern Ukraine. But you're right that we have a challenge when it comes to convening NATO-Ukraine Commission meetings at a ministerial level and above. And that's related to the language law. That's a disagreement between a NATO ally, Hungary, and a NATO partner, Ukraine. I just urge Ukraine and Hungary to try to find a solution to that issue. I have I have spoken both with the Prime Minister Viktor Orbán and also with Petro Poroshenko, and this is about reconciling the need to protect the rights of minorities and minority languages. As far as I know, there are also Polish minorities in Ukraine, so to protect the rights of these minorities to speak their language, but also, of course, a legitimate right for any state to make sure that the people in the country are able to speak the state language. This is a dilemma which we have seen in many countries, and it has been possible to find a way to balance those two concerns, and I hope that there will be also a possibility to find a way to balance that concern in Ukraine related to the language law. And I also believe that the recommendation from the Venice Commission forms a good basis to find a solution to address this issue, because I think it is important also that we are able to continue to convene the NATO-Ukraine Commission at the highest possible level.
Well, Madam, quite soon, in about 2 weeks, to be exact, or less than 2 weeks, there will be a B9 meeting, the meeting of the Bucharest 9, and I mentioned this very meeting in the context of Ukraine and Georgia and their cooperation with the North Atlantic Alliance and also the possibility of working with these two partners. When I was mentioning this issue, I was thinking exactly about what you asked in your question. For sure, during B9, we are going to discuss this issue with our Hungarian colleagues. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Secretary General. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you to the members of the delegation. And thank you for your attention. Goodbye.